Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcast and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Today we're going to be looking at the subject of storms in our lives. Why does God bring storms into our lives? Psalm 148 in verse 8 reminds us, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. The National Weather Service warns us in the peninsula of Florida regarding an unusually active storm season for the 2005 year. We've all been through the hurricanes, haven't we? We've survived. We've rebuilt our homes by God's grace. But you know, there are spiritual storms that confront us in our lives. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and in the clouds are the dust of His feet." Sometimes God allows spiritual storms in our lives in order to accomplish a cleanup process. It's what the Bible calls sanctification, where we become set apart for God's purposes, God's salvation, and God's work. There are five reasons that we're going to be looking at today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast as to why God allows storms in our lives. All of these begin with the letter R, so perhaps they might help you to get a better grasp on the five reasons and remember them and commit them to memory. The first reason why God may begin and allow storms into our lives is retribution. And by that, I don't mean a sinful response, for God cannot be tempted with evil, but I'm speaking of a judgment of sin. You recall in the book of Genesis chapter 6, the events that brought about the flood in Noah's day. The Bible tells us God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sounds like reading the front page of the newspaper today, or listening to the news at 6 p.m. We see sin abounding in our country, rebellion against God's laws, the rejection of His grace and His divine attributes as revealed in the Word of God. The Bible tells us, God said, "Behold, even I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." We know that God is no longer going to destroy the world by a flood, but the Bible reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the heavens are being stored up for that day where the elements shall burn with fervent heat, and the old world, the world that we know today, shall be burnt up by fire. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The solution of divine retribution and the storms that God can bring is the salvation of men's hearts. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Oftentimes, God allows storms in our lives, even in the lives of disobedient believers. I think of the financial storms that may come into our lives caused by the sin of using money wrongly. Credit card spending, a materialistic spirit that so characterizes our world today. We sow to the wind, and we can reap the whirlwind. Marital storms caused by having the wrong priorities. Oftentimes, men who are to be the spiritual leaders of their home misplace priorities for climbing the corporate ladder and allow their homes to degenerate, and soon the storms of life begin to come. Family storms caused by not disciplining children. Oh, how we need to avoid the storms of life and follow the Word of God obediently. If we'll return to Him in obedience, God is able to calm the storms that are caused by our disobedience. Psalm 107 and verse 25 through 29 reminds us, He commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses, and makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Could it be, dear listener, that God has allowed a storm in your life to get your attention? And God wants to awaken you to the need of getting right with Him. Oh, judgment upon sin, the first reason for the storms of life, retribution, judgment upon sin. Secondly, God can allow the storms in our lives for the purpose of bringing about revival. Jonah in the Old Testament is the best example of God allowing the storms of life to bring about revival. You remember in Job 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty storm in the sea, so that the ship was likely to be broken. God brought about a storm to bring about revival in a disobedient prophet's life. Instead of going to Nineveh, the enemies of God's people, he went to Tarshish, 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And he paid the fare. You know, sin always has a price to pay. He was willing to pay the fare, but he wasn't aware that sin would cost him more than he wanted to spend. Sin would take him further than he wanted to go, and sin would affect more lives than he was really wanting to affect. And so that is with we ourselves. Oh, how it's possible that we, in disobedience, will pay the fare. And notice, he went down unto Tarshish. Sin will always take you down, and the pathway away from God is always down. God sent a great storm and a mighty tempest, and it was all for the purpose of bringing Jonah back. And indeed, it wasn't until he was in the belly of the whale that he saw his need of repentance and coming back. God puts us through the storm to get us back to where we need to be in our relationship with the Lord. There's a third reason why God allows the storms of life, not only retribution and revival, but refinement. In the book of Job, the Bible tells us that Job was a perfect man. He was mature, in other words. He was upright. He feared God and shunned evil. No, he wasn't a perfect man. God allowed a trial in his life to refine him. We know how God sent a test to indeed refine him. There was the test of his prosperity when he lost his oxen and his servants and his sheep and his camels. Then there was the test of his posterity as he lost his sons and his daughters as they were killed by a great wind from the wilderness. Then there was the test of his person as his entire body was covered with boils. Even there was a test of his partner as his own wife, who should have been his helpmeet, said, "Curse God and die." There was even the test of his pals. Yes, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who all had their canned speeches, self-righteous speeches, and yet he found no help and direction from them. But you know, God did a refining process. When you read the end of the book of Job, Job says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee." See, God used these storms in his life to refine him, to sharpen his vision of the Lord in his life. And he heard of God's truths by the hearing of the ears. But then, as a result of going through the storms of life, he experienced God and his provision personally. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, as we read about the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh, he found God's grace to be sufficient as he trusted in him. The Lord came to him after he besought the Lord three times that it might depart him. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is made perfect in weakness." And then the Apostle Paul answered, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I ask you, dear listener, are you willing to glorify God in the midst of your trial, and like the Apostle Paul, say, "I'll take my storm in gladness if it will demonstrate the power of Christ in my life"? You know, just like storms maintain the proper ozone layer and purify the atmosphere, and if you remember, even lower the temperature a bit, so do trials and testings purify our lives and make us more refreshing and a blessing to others. There's a fourth reason why God allows storms in our lives. Not only retribution and revival and refinement, but reliance. Storms teach us to rely on the Lord. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, we have the story of the apostles, and they went into a ship. And notice it says, "It came to pass on a certain day that our Lord went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waves to obey him." You know, whenever I make hospital calls and visit dear people in the hospital, one of the verses that oftentimes my Bible will open to is that great Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 2. God's Word, speaking of our reliance upon the Lord in the midst of the storms of life. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord is the Lord our God, and we can trust in Him. Just 2 weeks ago, my wife had detected a lump in her breast and had gone to a physician for examination. And that lump was found to be malignant. And a great storm threatened the peace of our lives and our home. And in early August, on August the 9th, my wife is going to be facing surgery. And we're trusting in God. And we thank God that even in the midst of the storm, His Holy Spirit has been our comforter. The Holy Spirit has been our strength and our guide. The prayers of God's people, the cards, the letters that have come from so many people like you, ministering to us in our time of need. The storms are going to come in our lives. Notice it says, when thou passest through the waters, not if. The Christian is not exempt from trials and testings, but we know that all trials and testings pass from the loving hand of a Lord who promises to work all things together for our good, because we love God and are the called according to His purpose. Psalm 34, verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivers them out of all of their trouble. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Already, God has given us a great opportunity to represent Him through this trial. Which brings me to the fifth reason why God allows storms in our lives. Not only for the purpose of retribution and revival and refinement and teaching us how to rely on the Lord, but fifthly, for reaching others. Reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. When he made the statement, I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of the Lord without fear. The Apostle Paul is saying here that those things that have fallen unto him, those things that have taken place in his life, although unanticipated, Paul turned around and used them for the pioneering of the gospel. That's the exact word. Furtherance means pioneering, because Paul was able to track new territories and break into new areas and reach people for Christ that never, ever, ever could have been reached before. Paul was in a Roman prison for his faith. And he writes this letter back to the Philippian church in response for a gift that they had sent to him. And Paul says, hey, don't feel sorry for me. God has been using my infirmity of this prison experience for the furtherance of the gospel. And even other brothers and sisters in Christ are emboldened to witness of their faith in Christ through their specific trials because of my opportunity to represent Him. Some of you listening to me today may be facing a hospital stay, and you'll be placed in a room next to someone who does not know the Lord, or is strayed away from the Lord, and you have the opportunity of ministering to them. God has allowed that hospital room. God has allowed that office complex to be your parish on a regular basis. Maybe some of you are taking chemotherapy and you're having to spend 2 to 3 hours a day strapped into a machine, but there's 5 or 6 other people around you in similar situations. Oh, may it turn about. For the furtherance of the gospel, let me encourage you, God makes no mistakes. God desires every storm even to result in reaching others. Some of you ladies listening to the Strength for Today Bible broadcast have contacted me and told me that your husbands are overseas serving their country, and that they know Jesus Christ as Savior, and that God has used them, yes, even overseas, to witness to other soldier boys, and also witness to some of the nationals out there, and some of the Iraqi children, passing out tracts, letting others know about the Lord, some even involved in Bible studies. That's the furtherance of the gospel. And yes, the storms of life will come, but let us not despise the storms of life. I think of the story of an English poet named William Cowper. At age 32, he suffered from mental disorders. He was studying law at the time and even flunked the bar examination and was not able to continue in his law preparation. He came to the place where he tried to commit suicide by taking poison, and he even failed at this. He rented a horse and buggy and rode to the Thames River and was going to jump off, but somehow he felt strangely restrained. He could not do it. He sensed a purpose somehow in his life. But you know, the next morning, he woke up in his apartment flat, and he tried to hang himself, but he was found by a neighbor and taken down, unconscious. Sometime later, he took up a Bible and started reading the book of Romans, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You know, I appreciate the ministry of the Gideons as they go to hotels and they go to hospitals across our blessed land, laying copies of God's Word. Just like Johnny Appleseed, laying the seed, scattering the seed, and believing God to do the rest. And you know, somewhere in a lonely hospital room, maybe someone even listening to this Strength for Today Bible broadcast, you're driving your car, passing through on the turnpike or on the expressway, and you've turned to WHIM or WTLN, and you're listening to this broadcast, and it's not by accident. It's a seed that has been sown in your life. What are you going to do about it? God has allowed storms in your life to get your attention, but are you going to come to Him and turn to Him by faith? Are you going to call upon Him who shed His blood and died on the cross that you might have everlasting life? God has allowed the storms of life to come in to show you that you can't face life on your own. You can't order and arrange life on your own. And more than anything else, you can never find the pathway to eternal life on your own through your own self-righteousness. You must come to Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and acknowledge that He paid the price for your sins before an all-holy God. Shed His blood that you might have everlasting life. Receive Him as your personal Savior. Oh, William Cowper took that Bible and opened it up, started reading the book of Romans, and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. After his conversion, he penned the famous words to the great hymn, "God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Later in his life, he wrote that great hymn that we love to sing at church, that old Christian classic, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Have you encountered that divine forgiveness through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? What storms are you facing today? Could it be the storm of retribution and judgment on sin in your life? God may not always remove the consequences, but He can remove the guilt and the penalty and grant unto you eternal life and hope beyond the grave. Is there a need for revival, dear disobedient Christian? Have you strayed away from the Lord, lost the hunger of His Word, lost the sweet grace of fellowship with Him? Taking that time to be in prayer, walking close to Him? Is there a need for refinement in your life? Are there areas that are yet unyielded to the Lord that He desires to be not just Savior but Lord of your life? Perhaps you're not relying on the Lord as you should. Are you dependent upon your own resources and not God's? I know that the storms of life will certainly be for the purpose of reaching others and causing us and enabling us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you today, if you're anywhere where you are able to bow your head and close your eyes, or perhaps you're driving a car and you're not offered that luxury, but you're able to pray this prayer with me today. Lord Jesus, I know the storm that You've allowed in my life, and I'm giving it to You, and I want to see Your purpose fulfilled in my life. And Lord, if I do not know You as personal Savior, I want to be saved right now and place my faith and trust in You. Come into my heart and save me. Give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And if you're a Christian that's walking far from God, surrender that sin of rebellion to Him. Confess that sin. Return to the joy of your salvation. Come back in humble obedience and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our family's going through a storm right now, and I'm thankful to God for the byproduct of all of that as we trust in Him and respond by faith. Be in prayer for me as I am in prayer for you and those of you who contact our broadcast. Let me encourage you to keep on keeping on. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know your labor is never in vain, for the best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other almost 900 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.